It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
What's going on? Reno is in. TI is the location. Reno's the location as well. As I'm getting ready for UNLV at Nevada. All right, Adam. Let's get into it. We got a big day of hockey trades to mention. DeMond, of course, in this 4 o'clock hour in our Finley Toyota studios. Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
All right, before we jump into the official Big Four at Four, Adam, give me the vibe today around the Vegas Golden Knights. Another exciting day. We thought they landed some big fish the last couple of days, but today was a freaking whopper.
Yeah, I think a bit of a surprise. I mean, I think the way that they had structured some of the earlier deals, we all expected that there'd be another trade to come down, maybe even two, but the name was certainly a bit stunning because it wasn't one of the big names that was, you know, thought to be on the market, that was rumored to be on the market. They went to an old rival. And Tomas Hertl, who still has 6 years left on a very lucrative contract, and traded for him, which was, I think, stunning for Golden Knights fans, for Sharks fans, for fans all around the NHL. It wasn't really a name that was popping up anywhere, and the Golden Knights made that deal just before the deadline, and one more splashy move. Now, Tomas Hertl is hurt, can't play, but he is now part of the organization and will likely be part of the organization for a long time because he does have a no-trade clause that he had to waive in order to come to the Golden Knights.
All right, we'll break it down in about 20 minutes. Willie Ramirez is going to join us. He is. We're all over town today. Willie's over at the MGM covering the women's tournament for the Pac-12. So Hertl in place, hell of a deal, and we'll get to more of the reaction around the NHL. People are freaking out at the trade deadline. Official number four, DeMond. So I did some traveling, obviously, and I saw a good video, where else, on TikTok. This was CBS Mornings. Adam, I want to see if you're into what they're talking about here. There are some new things going on with TSA, and they're trying it out in Vegas. Fire this.
Can we take the grocery store self-checkout and bring it to a TSA checkpoint? They're testing it in Las Vegas. Just come up to the checkpoint. Take your carry-on, put it in the bin. If you've got any questions, simply ask the TSA officer on demand.
Hi there, how may I help you today?
Slide your bin onto the rollers, then walk right into the full body scanner. And this is what's new. You come in and you put your arms down to the side, and it's going to look for anything that shouldn't be there. And it's telling me I got to come back out. I have a microphone, of course, that it's detected. I've got the transmitter on my belt. And something a lot of people forget, my cell phone. Don't expect this to be widely rolled out at every airport and every checkpoint.
No, I don't think so. Part of what we're trying to do here is to figure out, hey, what works? What facilitates movement of people? While at the same time making sure that we can provide the security we provide.
All right, Adam. Self-serve TSA. You think this has a chance to work?
I mean, it'll eventually be what we see, but it's not going to work, and it's going to be terrible.
Why?
Everything is. Have you used the self-check-in machines with the suitcases?
Is that at... Oh, yeah, of course I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's never works.
Well, let me retract that. When I fly Southwest, I do use the SkyCab. Yeah. I don't mess with any other stuff. I go, I check in, I give them the bag.
Some of the airlines have it where you tag your own, and then you walk over and you place it on a machine,
yep.
And it shows you, like, put it within these lines right here, lay the tag down this way, and it has to be exactly right for it to accept it.
Yep.
And usually I get it, and this is not a critique of others, but it kind of is. Like, a lot of people just stare at it, have no idea.
Yep.
And you sit there and watch, and you're like, okay, this person has no chance of doing this, and it's not their fault.
Right.
It's very complicated. I fly all the time. I fly all the time, so I get it. People that fly like once or twice a year have no chance.
DeMond, any shot?
No, Steve, I just don't trust people.
As soon as I saw it, I figured the whole crew was just going to pile on this. Well, it's a good idea. Yep, that's the problem. Because it's not only what Adam said where it's complicated. People also melt down a lot quicker at the airport. They're just not willing to be patient.
Yeah, at the first sign of any inconvenience, people are going to want to talk to a supervisor anyway. So just have someone there, have them do it. How about we just train the TSA workers to be more efficient, okay?
Number three. I refrain from attacking. I'm not going to do that to our TSA people. Oscars this weekend, Adam. I know you're very busy. Will you sneak a peek at the Oscars?
No.
What?
No. I mean, I might watch red carpet and, you know, I love, not that I love the fashion part of it, but like the social media aspect on the red carpet of like people tweeting about all kinds of different things. I enjoy that sometimes, but I'm not likely to be tuning in for much of the Oscars.
I will most likely watch a part of it. This is definitely one of those where the SO wants to watch a significant other. She has watched a lot of these movies. Damon, you?
Steve, I haven't watched every movie that's nominated, but I've watched a lot of them. And yes, I'm going to be checking in for this because I only care about the movies I watched and will they win. Oppenheimer, for me, was a phenomenal film where I think it's going to clean up. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. I mean, if Oppenheimer doesn't clean up, I'm going to be disappointed, Steve.
I couldn't get through the film.
Steve.
I'm just not smart enough and disciplined enough to watch the whole thing.
And Adam, what's your excuse? It's a real life thing, so you don't have your "I don't watch a movie if it doesn't happen in real life" excuse.
I said this recently. Not only have I not been watching movies, I don't watch TV anymore. And I'm not saying I'm reading books and anything like that. Like, I watch YouTube. I watch game film. Like, that's what I do. But I watch anything I watch, I'm pretty much watching on YouTube. I was thinking about the other day, why do I even have all these other things? Because it's sports, for one. And then every once in a while, like every like 2 months, I'll be like, I want to watch this. Like, Curb Your Enthusiasm right now. All right, so I need HBO. So I need all these other things for like one thing here and there. But I'm pretty much just watching YouTube.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple of them, Damon. I saw the Holdovers.
Okay, overrated.
I thought it was okay. Why was it overrated?
The whole story of, hey, I'm the cranky old guy, you know, and you're here for the school. Devon Joy Randolph, who played the lunch lady with the tragic backstory, I thought that her story was good, but the movie tried to make me feel bad for privileged people, and I really didn't that much.
That's a good wrap on it. Number two.
Number two.
All right, Adam, what's going on here? I know this is a Damon choice today, but what's going on with Kelsey Plum and Darren Waller? Is one going to make a decision here on Darren Waller's future with the Giants? Is he going to move on from professional football?
It's getting weird. Darren Waller has been acting odd on social media for a few months, and I'm not exactly sure why. There's also a lot of people trying to check out every time one of them posts a photo if there's a ring on their fingers.
Wait, what does that mean?
Splitsville, Steve.
Has anybody seen them together recently?
Oh, I thought it was the other angle. I thought they were really going to really settle down here. And Waller's like, okay, I'll become a hab, a husband. What did I call this earlier? Husband or boyfriend? Husband and boyfriend instead of wag?
Yeah. I mean,
are you serious? Splitsville?
Well, they haven't said anything. Nobody's talked about it.
They haven't confirmed that they're still together either.
It's just you don't have to confirm it from speculation, but it doesn't appear, at least as far as I've seen, that either one of them has been in the other one's posts for a long time. She had a post yesterday of a bunch of photos. Did he like it? Do we know?
How do we know? Can you check?
Yeah, I can check. I'll check right now.
I'll also try to find that TikTok where it was kind of weird.
Well, there's been a lot of weird. There's been a lot of weird social media from both of them. But yeah, it's been speculated. So we don't know. But it's also, is this part of whatever is going on with Darren, right? And his uncertainty about the future? We still are not sure.
Yeah, the caption on that TikTok I was thinking of was, when your girl about to leave you.
Yeah.
Is he just joking? Is he just on a trend? Or is this man, you know, TikToking through the pain?
It's a fair question.
Number one. That's a bummer.
We have an update, though.
Oh, we do have an update.
She posted yesterday. He did not like it. Ooh. She posted a thirst trap last week that he did not like either.
What was a thirst trap?
So that maybe he could, maybe he didn't like it because he didn't want her posting that, or maybe he didn't like it because he's not liking her posts anymore. I don't know.
Number one again.
Number one.
All right, we got Big League Weekend, Adam. What are your sources saying about the crowds this weekend? I was told earlier in the day that tickets still available. Expecting a big crowd tomorrow, but tickets still available for tonight as of a couple hours ago.
Yeah, I was just obviously right next door over at the Golden Knights facility, so looked like there was already people showing up, and I'll say that I went and got coffee over in a DS, not DTS, and this is the old argument.
Downtown Summerlin?
DS.
And downtown Summerlin?
It's two words. You even have a sign that downtown is one word. But I went over there, and as soon as I walked in for coffee, the lady at the coffee place was asking everyone, "Oh, you here for the game? You here for the game?" So there's at least some buzz over there.
Did you see the latest on the stadium, which is going to happen? Adam fought and scratched and clawed the other day, saying it's not going to happen. Golden One Center, inspiring the Las Vegas ballpark innovation. You've been in the Golden One Center, right?
I can say this. I've raved about the Golden One Center. I think it's fantastic.
Apparently, there's going to be climate-controlled seats in the most posh seats.
Oh. I mean, that's in the design now or the new one? That's yet to come.
Dave Cavill. These ballpark designs need a bit of a shake-up. I got a model of every MLB stadium in my office, and a lot of them look the same. Not to say they're bad. In Vegas, you got to go big, and these are the types of things that are going to make the building stand out in a very competitive landscape. State-of-the-art stadium.
I can't wait to see designs for it.
You did see a design for it.
No, we didn't.
What do you mean?
I mean, like an actual design, like one that's what they're planning on building.
I don't get where you're going with this. You think this thing is completely false?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be built in that same spot.
Oh, you don't think it's going to be on that property?
No.
Well, then how's it going to get built?
You're going to have to go back to the legislature and ask for
something different. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did you see the letter sent out by the A's with, I think it was like 9 approvals from around the valley? And our guy Don Logan was on there, so that's good. Steve Hill was on there, which, okay.
Okay.
I didn't see anyone who actually voted in amongst our public servants with a comment about the stadium design. Don't you think that's odd? Wouldn't they stand up and go, "See, I told you, they're coming through, this is beautiful, this is why I voted yes."
I mean, I'd also like to see how I would have loved to be a part of the conversation when they went to them, said, "Hey, we need a quote to send out." Like, all right, everything's great.
You nothing to see here.
I think there was some reluctance on the part of the people who did participate.
Not everyone. I mean, some of them I think were very exuberant and excited to do it, but yeah. I think some were like, "Are you going to use my name or
can I go anonymous?" Can you imagine if they're anonymous? Like, wait a second. What's the point of our luminaries throwing their support behind this stadium? Coming up next, we're going to go out to the MGM. We'll get more comments on a big day for VGK with a trade for Tomas Hertl. And we'll find out what's going on with women's championship basketball.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, a bunch going on in and out of town. I'm actually hanging out here in Reno, getting ready for UNLV and Nevada tomorrow. Adam Hill is at our Friday home, Treasure Island, inside the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. And, of course, we've got women's tournament action starting around town. One of the men's tournaments started as well with West Coast Conference. Willie Ramirez is hanging out at the MGM Grand. Willie, what's up? It's Adam. It's Steve. It's Damon.
What's up, fellas? I'm sitting here watching what may be my new favorite college basketball player to watch after being out here this week.
Who's that?
Oregon State freshman Donovan Hunter. Absolute baller. just tremendous. And we're actually doing a big piece with the Associated Press in terms of freshman phenom and just in terms of how the freshmen come into the game so much better. I mean, we talk about Juju Watkins all the time, but there are so many top freshmen. Arizona had three starters that were freshmen, but I watched Donovan Hunter sort of take over overtime, double overtime yesterday, and help them get into the semifinals. This girl, I can't wait for a lot of these girls to get into the WNBA, but I'm watching her warm up. She kind of reminds me, Adam, you've been out, I think you've been out to a couple of these games, Damon. The way Kelsey Plum warms up, her warm-up routine, a lot of them, before they even get into their shooting, like this, I'm watching her warm up. It's very intense. Becoming a fan. So, yes, I'm excited. Semifinals, Stanford, Oregon State, USC, UCLA, a future Big Ten rivalry. That's been a long time Pac-12 rivalry. They used to be a Pac-10 rivalry.
All right, so set these games up in terms of favorite, point spread if you have them. Start with the 1-4 matchup.
I would say Stanford is probably going to approach being a double digit, if not just over a double digit favorite, the 1-4. Oregon State can play some defense, of course. Stanford, they didn't have the best showing yesterday. I've talked to a couple of Pac-12 experts that cover the conference throughout the year that think Oregon State has a good chance of upsetting them just because of their depth and the talent and the defense that they employ. I think Stanford finds a way to always win these games for some reason or another in the second half of games, no matter how far down they are. Yesterday, they sat Cam Brink for about 9 of the 10 minutes of the first quarter. Tara brings her in and out. She gets her third foul by halftime, but yet they still win the game by double digits. USC UCLA is going to be interesting because UCLA might be overall top to bottom the best team in the conference. They definitely have the best defense, but it's hard to argue against what USC has done with Juju Watkins. I always say Schuster. But it's more than Juju. They have a well-rounded roster. It's just that UCLA's defense is tremendous. If you ask me to pick the finals, I'd like to see Stanford and USC, but I think UCLA is probably going to beat USC because of its defense. If I'm making that line, I'm probably making that one a pick 'em.
Willie, I got to ask about the Pac-12 because it seems like we saw it in football as well. They're having one of their best years as the conference is closing up shop. Do you think that they could have one of these teams reach the Final Four with how well conference play has been this year?
I think they could have two reach the Final Four. And that's been, you know, I thought at every press conference we would be hearing them talk about this being the final year. And they have asked some of the, you know, the staple coaches, Tara Vanderveer, Adia Barnes. We've heard them, you know, what's it mean for them to be coaching in the final Pac-12 tournament. But the big conversation is how many teams are going to get into the tournament? How many deserve to get in? You know, you have 5-6 ranked teams. Arizona should follow suit. But the Californias, the Washington States, I mean, there are teams, Colorado, there are teams that deserve probably to get into this tournament. It's a matter of how far down the selection committee is going to go. But every time you get one of the powerhouse coaches up on the dais for a press conference, they're talking about a team that lost in the first round or yesterday's quarterfinal, say this team should be in, or who they just beat. Because when you look at the body of work, and that's the phrase they've used, is body of work throughout the entire season. Non-conference wins that allowed net rankings. You have teams that aren't even ranked in the top 25, but yet their net ranking is in the top 30. So I think Stanford and UCLA has a real good chance both to get in the Final Four. Then USC right there is right there to challenge. It all obviously it depends on who's going to host in the opening round and where these teams are going to end up for that first weekend.
Again, we're talking to Willie Ramirez on Cofield & Company, a part of the Sporting Tribune and the Associated Press. Willie, let's move over to the Lady Rebels as they are just on fire right now. Their third Mountain West regular season, you know, leading victory and wins. So how far do you think this team can go and the amount of pressure that they have to win the Mountain West Tournament? Because I don't know how many bids the league can get if they don't win the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
UNLV is going to the tournament if they don't win the Mountain West. They're, that, that's, I mean, they've, they're, They're a three-time regular season champ. They've won the last two tournaments. They've climbed as high as 23rd. They've been in and out of the poll. I don't think that they're going to drop far enough if they lose in the tournament that they're not going to get an invite. It obviously behooves them to get into the tournament. I talked to Lindy not too long ago just to catch up with her, say hello and whatnot. It's a very, very big long shot to be a top 16 in the net to be able to host. But if they could stay out west, which we saw them do 2 years ago when they went to Arizona, led going into the fourth quarter and lost to the Wildcats on their home turf. And then last year, of course, they go to Michigan. I think that if they stay out west, they have a good chance based on just, you know, how they performed, what's left over from last year. Lindy now, you know, she's got her feet wet as a head coach. She knows what to expect. She already kind of has it in her head on her resume from her days with Stanford as an assistant coach and, of course, as a player. They just need – it behooves them to win the tournament so they can stay out west, and then they can get past that first weekend finally. But I think that they're in the tournament whether they win the tournament or whether they win the Mountain West or not.
So when it comes to the WNBA season that's going to be coming up in our Big Four, we did talk about the Aces a little bit, but I want to get your take on something. The new uniform, okay. What do you think about them? I don't like them.
I'd like an explanation. Like why are we giving a nod to either San Antonio or, you know, of course, there's all the trollers out there that are saying, well, Mark Davis being Mark Davis, once a Raider, always, you know, silver and black. But, I mean, in reality, is there an explanation behind it? Is there an anniversary date? Is this the X amount of year, milestone year of the franchise? I don't know that. I haven't looked into it. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I mean, I'm not sure what they're trying to prove. And if it's hey, like how the Golden Knights do these jersey reveals when they did the red one and then all of a sudden the gold and the different, the throw. But, let's have a little splash. Let's have a little something to it. There really wasn't anything to it. So I don't know the rhyme or reason behind it too much, and I haven't looked into it. I don't know. And hopefully that's not their go-to, and that's just going to kind of be, hey, here's our new uniform, and they're available, and we're going to wear them once in a while.
Willie, we're running short on time here, so I've got to get your thoughts on the Golden Knights at the deadline, the moves they made. Tomas Hertl, Ryan the Hockey Guy, he was telling me that he was a Golden Knights killer. Is this a big move, and the other moves they made at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because it adds depth to the down the center. I mean, they're probably one of the more talented. They were probably already one of the more talented teams down the middle. Now this just strengthens it with experience, adding another veteran. And the big thing is, with where they sit in the Pacific Division, by trading within the division, he knows the Pacific well. He knows those opponents well. So down the stretch to make a move and try to climb back into the top three and avoid the wild card, it's a big grab once he's available and he can jump into the lineup. And Hannafin's an excellent defender. While Martinez is on the shelf, he can join Petrangelo in a heartbeat.
Willie Ramirez is with us. Last minute, Willie. I want to go back to where we were at the start of the conversation, and that was the Pac-12 Women's Tournament.
Yeah.
How do you describe Juju Watkins to people off the court and on the court?
Oh, man. I did a one-on-one with her the other night. I'm going to be have a story for the Associated Press. She is so calm, cool, and collected, and so professional. I think that she is, after last night, watching her get literally battered, bruised, and bloodied in their game, she's physically ready to, I mean, and I asked her point blank. I said, if the collective bargaining agreement allowed it, would you go right to the WNBA? She goes, I love the college atmosphere, so I would stay. Doesn't surprise me since endorsements are going to be the same, but she has it mentally. She's already very humble. She's well prepared. She knows what to say. I would imagine it's from a hardcore AAU circuit. So yeah, she's going to be somebody. As Caitlin Clark moves on, she is going to be the face of college basketball.
Willie, you're the man. We appreciate the coverage of the Pac-12, and I'll see you soon over at the Mountain West. Okay.
All right. Talk to you.
There he is, Willie Ramirez, Sporting Tribune, and the AP. Adam Hill's over at TI. Adam, what'd you make of the announcement that the WNBA draft is sold out, and now I guess they put it as the allotment of tickets for the Aces are sold out for the season.
Yeah, and it's not – it doesn't mean you can't go to an Aces game this year. I talked to some people that were kind of freaking out about that. It's the amount of season tickets that they make available sold out, which is right. Incredible. And there's still going to be walk-up tickets. There's still going to be, I would imagine, very, very premium tickets. And then I certainly imagine they're going to sell a bunch that'll come available for the Caitlin Clark games when I believe Indiana is who most likely will be gets here to town. So there will still be tickets, but I mean, incredible for a league that has had trouble doing this. And even the Aces, when they're successful, the regular season, there's some games that aren't that well attended, and now they have blown up.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Remember, each day in March up until the 29th, we're giving away $2,024 every day. All you got to do is text in the code word of the day, 702-364-1100 is where you text, 364-1100. Code word today, shrimp, like shrimp cocktail. Shrimp is the code word. You can hit the jackpot every day in March through the 29th. Win $2,024. You just have to text in the daily code word today. It is shrimp, 702-364-1100. DeMond loves to do this to me. He loves to send over whatever random Charles Barkley comment has come out. And I guess this one isn't random because this is now part of his job. He seems to be a political pundit at this point with his new show on CNN. DeMond, what was Chuck commenting on sports and politics?
The Denver Nuggets are not going to be making an appearance at the White House, the defending NBA champions.
Okay. And he's, I would assume, with a lot of the stances he's been taking recently, he's mad about that, and he's going to punch someone in the face, because that's basically every take ends with he's going to punch someone in the face.
They flying Southwest or something? Come on, man. I actually have a problem with this whole thing that's happened in sports the last few years, not just now. It's an honor and a privilege to go to the White House. It shouldn't matter who's in the White House. It's an honor and a privilege to go to the White House. You should always go. But these guys act like they're flying Southwest.
So you're not buying the
You would go.
I would always go to the White House. It's the president.
Not like you're going to get
whether
out
you like the president or not.
Well, they're saying it's a basketball decision.
I understand
decision.
That, but I'm saying for me personally, it's an honor and a privilege to go to the White House, and you should always go.
Come on.
I think it's an antiquated idea. I don't. If teams don't want to go, then don't go. It's antiquated to think, oh man, it's such a privilege and an honor to go to the White House. No, it doesn't matter who's in office. They're here to play basketball. Their best player, Serbian. What does he care about meeting Joe Biden? Whoever the president is.
Adam, what was the feedback, if you got any, from the Golden Knights? Obviously, we got feedback from Darren Millard. We got feedback from one Justin Watkins about the invite. Did the Knights give you anything a few months back?
I mean, just about the experience and going there and you know, what it was like. I think they, you know, Bruce Cassidy in particular, I think talked about how, you know, not really being American, and so many of the players are not, but just what it, you know, what it kind of does for you when you get there and actually see it and look around. I don't necessarily agree with Barkley. I don't think it's the most important thing in the world to do. And I would understand not doing it. And I think to DeMond's point, like, this is absolutely set by Jokic. Like, we know he doesn't
really?
Do any of this. I mean, yeah, he does not politically.
Like he just doesn't want to do stuff.
He doesn't want to do anything. He wants to ride a horse and play basketball.
Well, why do they have to have him there? Don't go.
Well, that's fair. But
was it going to become controversial if they go without him?
If the team captain's like, I'm out, then, you know.
Second best player's Canadian.
You stay home.
That's the tone. And yeah, their second best player is Canadian too. You're right.
No Americans run this team.
Do we open up the Pandora's box that got Millard all worked up, where both his show and our show were like, well, how come Canada doesn't invite them in? Where's Trudeau? Just for Jamal Murray and Drake.
I mean, why would Drake?
Drake should be part of everything now.
Raptors didn't win.
DeMond was talking about his feats of strength the other day.
That's what you did say something else.
Yeah.
DeMond, I'm not on Twitter. Did Drake just lose his bet? Didn't he bet a ton on Ngannou?
Oh, no. No, don't ruin this for me, Adam. I'll check during the break.
What, are you taping it?
We were.
I just my phone just got like 12 texts in. Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What are you hearing?
Oh, no. I just watched the video. Oof.
No, I don't know. Oof.
I don't know if Francis Ngannou is going to be boxing anymore. Oh, no.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll get the update on what just happened. With this fight with Ngannou and Anthony Joshua
here
on Cofield and Company.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Cofield hanging out, getting ready for UNLV and Nevada here in Reno. Patrick Berbert, risk supervisor, and Adam Hill are at our set at Treasure Island. Patrick, what's going on, buddy?
It's going good over here. How's it going up there?
It's pretty good. I didn't get to watch the Anthony Joshua Francis Ngannou fight, but I just got to see the highlights. This is a rare case, and Adam, you and I have talked about the Conor McGregor Floyd fight. This was a rare case that middle of the week I actually did say -400 for Joshua was that rare spot where -400 is actually incredible value. Adam, do you want to describe the knockout to the audience?
I mean, it hurts to even look at it or think about it again. It was it sounds like, and I only saw the end too, I think like you did. It sounds like there's a couple knockdowns, but the final one was just a right hand to the temple, and Francis Ngannou folded in half, and that is a large man to fold in half. It was violent. Was that something that you guys had here? You guys had that up?
We didn't offer that fight.
Yeah, I actually wanted to get to that because I think some of these fights they're risky to even book. And I think about the Paul Tyson fight that was announced. If I was in your business, I wouldn't put it up. Is that kind of the thought process that you guys have?
Yeah, we normally just book the title fights over here, so we don't book any of those really exhibition fights.
So just your thoughts on it in general, like when you hear a fight like that announced, being in this business, even if you're not putting it up, it's something you have to think about. To me, I'm very skeptical of that being a real fight. Like, I don't even believe it.
Absolutely. And even if we were to book that fight, the limits would be pretty small on it just to protect the investment.
How about as a fan? Do you enjoy these goofy fights that go on?
As a fan, they could be entertaining to watch, but I'm not all in on it. I prefer watching a title fight.
I suggest watching it. If you didn't pay for it, I hope you didn't because it was kind of a sham. Definitely go check that out. We are getting ready now. We have a lot to get into today, but college basketball is so fun this time of year, and there's games on all day. What does that do just for you guys as a book to just have events that are on during the day, and especially ones that are going to be here that people are going to be tuned into and excited about?
Absolutely. This is college basketball season right here for us. It's wonderful. You have five conference tournaments here in Las Vegas, and there's basketball on all day long this week. Some of the smaller conference started this week, and the next week you get all the power conferences started. So you're going to see those on all day long, and it's going to be great basketball. It's going to be a great crowd in here, so it's going to be great business-wise for us.
Yeah, I'm excited for it for sure, although hopefully games aren't like the 34-2 start yesterday with Pacific and Pepperdine.
That was crazy.
Well, that's another one that's tough. Like when you are seeing games like this on the board, both teams had moved on from their coach. So like you think motivation-wise, you're like, I don't know how this is going to play out, but like both teams are. How do you kind of build that into a number or what people are going to look at or bet at when you don't really know where the teams are with their coach moving on?
It's definitely hard, but both those teams are bottom-tier teams, so it really didn't impact it that much. The coach really wasn't going to make a difference. Pacific is not going to go out there and get a great coach, and neither is Pepperdine. They're bottom feeders in the West Coast Conference, so it didn't impact it too much. But, yeah, it was a pretty brutal game to watch.
So we talked about some of the games that are here. Mountain West is coming to Las Vegas. I am incredibly excited about this conference tournament. There are, I would say, seven teams that could win it.
Correct. There's seven teams that can win it. I mean, you're looking at Utah State, Nevada, Boise State, UNLV, San Diego State, New Mexico, and Colorado State. Any of those won, it's up for grab there.
It really is. How difficult do you think that is, just in terms of kind of set the numbers for who's going to move forward, especially knowing some teams need wins more than others. Some teams need to get in the tournament. Some teams are on the bubble. Some need to win the conference just to get in, like UNLV.
Correct. The two teams in the Mountain West that really need a win here is not only UNLV, they want to be that 17 to get in, but New Mexico right now, according to most bracketologists, they're on the last four in, so they're going to need a big win or two in the conference tournament if they don't get it at Utah State tomorrow.
Do you see action when you're booking those games? Do you see action come in on teams that quote-unquote need to win? Do people like love to rush to the window to bet those teams?
Absolutely. The public definitely looks at that as a perception sometimes that a team needs a win. At the end of the day, all teams need a win. Sometimes other teams need it more than others. But at this time of the year, every team is looking to compete and win their conference championship. So it's a must-win for every team here going forward.
One thing I've looked at through the years, and I completely forgot about it this week, but now it's popping into my head. Teams that are in the tournament, and we know they're going to be in the tournament, they tend to struggle that last regular season game. It's a trend that I've always liked. I've always liked to look at. And again, like I said, this year kind of slipped my mind a little bit. But is that something to kind of keep an eye on for you? Have you noticed that where, hey, we're in. We got a tournament coming up next week. This last regular season game, probably already have the seeding for the conference tournament. Not always so meaningful for a lot of teams.
I don't really pay attention to that as much. A lot of these favorites, sometimes they'll fall because a couple of the middle-tier teams, they want to play spoiler.
Sure. Or
they'll want their conference tournament more just because they don't think they can make a huge run in the tournament, so it gives them that accolade. But at the end of the day, I think every team wants to win, so we don't pay attention to that really too much.
Patrick Berber from down here at TI. We're talking about a lot of the college tournaments that are going on. We mentioned Mountain West. Is there any of the other major conference tournaments that you really have your eye on?
And we're going to be looking at the SEC here. I think there's four teams at the top that are running that conference: Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky. Kentucky has one of the hottest offenses in college basketball right now. They're averaging 103 points per game in their last four. Ooh. And Tennessee has really hit their stride. They're playing great basketball. But a dark horse I'm looking at for the conference, if you don't want to take one of the top four teams there, is Florida. They're playing really good basketball. They've got some shooters around their team. I wouldn't be surprised if they can make some noise in the SEC tournament.
Do you guys have numbers up for futures for each of these tournaments?
We're going to be working on the power conferences this week to put them up.
How much does seeding play into where you guys are going? Is it more matchups? Is it more where teams are seeded? I guess how does that kind of play out?
Seeding plays a little part of where these teams are going to have their odds set, but it's more so a matchup and who they're going to play on each side of the bracket. That definitely has the biggest impact.
Big game tonight in the Mountain West, Boise at San Diego State. Boise is getting about 6.5 last I looked. I'm not sure if you saw an updated number. Man, San Diego State is so tough. They'll beat you up. Boise coming off a pretty difficult loss, but teams still playing for seeding here in the Mountain West. And as you said, all these teams are angling to get the best spot, the best seed in the tournament, and then obviously into the NCAA tournament. So any thoughts on that game tonight?
That line actually was up. You saw a couple 7.5s and 8s out there. Ooh. Earlier on San Diego State. So the Sharps are definitely buying it back down here on Boise. And like you said, Boise's coming off a loss, but so is San Diego State. They lost a close one to UNLV on Tuesday night. And they started off really poorly in that game. So I expect them to have a big bounce back tonight here at home.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big one coming up. And as you said, it's real tricky for a lot of people. You're trying to watch all these college games. You're like, oh, what's a tournament? What's not? Sometimes that's tough to sort out. But, yeah, Mountain West is still going on this weekend. So keep in mind, that tournament has not started. We did get the West Coast Conference tournament started, as you mentioned. Do you see people waiting for the big teams to arrive on Monday for that West Coast tournament, because they get those double buys into the semifinals? So these early games, as we talk about, you get like a Pacific Pepperdine type of game, maybe not all the interest, but are people already starting to get interested in these games?
Not as much as obviously the semifinals, because you have the double buys there where St. Mary's will be playing the semifinals and Gonzaga's waiting for their opponent too. You start to see the crowd rolling around then. It's mostly just like family members, friends, and some diehards that go to watch those games. But once you get to the semifinals and the finals for the West Coast Conference at the Orleans Arena, it gets really crowded there.
Great atmosphere.
Yeah, great atmosphere.
It's fun. It's definitely fun to go over. And Mountain West is going to be fun this year. It's not always. Sometimes it's up and down a little bit, but as you mentioned, those teams being there with all that at stake is going to be a great time over at Thomas and Mack. It's not always just college basketball right now, though. Of course, there's a lot of things overlapping. NBA futures are always interesting to look at. And I know they're changing all the time with different injuries and things going on. Anything you're noticing trend-wise, or is there something people are betting on right now in the NBA?
Yeah, all the money's still pouring in on the Celtics and Nuggets. They had a good game last night. The Nuggets inched that one out there. The Nuggets are still showing that they're the team to beat in the West and probably the NBA. But the Celtics are playing great basketball this year, but I just don't feel there's any value there. You're only getting 2-1 on the Celtics and then 4-1 on the Nuggets. Felt like all that value was gone where you should have got it at the beginning of the year. So I think I'm looking at more of a team where if they can get healthy down the stretch, you could be looking at either the Suns or the 76ers. 76ers are playing great ball when Embiid was healthy. Tyrese Maxey has really improved as a player this year. I think they're a pretty all-around great team, and I also think they had a huge coaching upgrade when they brought Nick Nurse in.
Patrick Berbert's with us, T.I. Patrick, let's get back to college basketball tomorrow and roll through a bunch of games here. What do we want to do with Kentucky and Tennessee?
Yeah, this is going to be a great game right here. Like I mentioned earlier, Kentucky's offense is rolling, but so is Tennessee. They're playing great basketball here. Their defense has been as good as ever, and they've got probably the SEC Player of the Year in Dalton Connect, who can create offense all over the floor. Zakai Ziegler, he's back. He's playing really good basketball. He started off the year with an injury that he got last year, so it slowed him down a little bit, but it looks like he's healthy now, and Tennessee's really hit their stride with him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee covers the number here at home, looking at 8.5, just because Kentucky doesn't have a defense to really stop anybody right now.
It's pretty incredible with the numbers when you see power programs like Kansas and Kentucky getting numbers like this. How about Kansas and Houston?
Yeah, this is an interesting game, too. Houston's -8. This is not the Kansas team of the past. They have 7 conference losses. This is the most for Kansas in their conference since the conference was formed in 1996. A couple of their losses came with McCullough out, so that really hurt them. But Houston's hurting, too, up front. The beginning of the year, they lost Terrence Arsenault. Last game, Javier Francis went down with an injury. He's questionable tomorrow. And they also lost Joseph Tugler for the year as well. And their last forward that they're left with, if Francis isn't going to go, is Juwan Roberts. And he's questionable as well. So if he doesn't play, the tallest guy on the court for Houston is going to be 6'5", and that could be a problem. And Kansas could have a lot of upside to possibly steal this game in Houston.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
Okay. No, I was just going to say that Houston might want to rest their players and get a little healthy for their run coming up.
All right. Interesting angle on that one. Duke and North Carolina.
This is obviously the game of the day right here. Good rivalry. One of the best of any sport. UNC won the last meeting at home by 9 here earlier in the year. If Duke gets this win, they'll have a share of the regular season title. It was a bit of a bumpy run for North Carolina at the beginning of February, but they've hit their stride lately, and they have some pretty convincing wins. But I think UNC, Duke might win this game, but I think taking the 4.5 is the play here with North Carolina, just because they have the experience here. 4 of their 5 starters are either juniors or seniors, where Duke is opposite. Around 5 of their top 6 usage players are either freshmen or sophomores, so that could be a problem. And North Carolina's defense has been the number 1 efficiency wise in ACC conference play.
All right, we got about a minute left. Let's bang out the 2 of the Mountain West Conference games tomorrow. The game that I'll be covering, which is UNLV at Nevada, and the Wolfpack is 6.5.
Yeah, Nevada's 6.5 here. These are 2 of the hottest teams in the Mountain West. They both won 9 of their last 10. UNLV, again, had the huge win at home against San Diego State the other night. And But UNLV defense has been playing really good. Deedon Thomas has been given the green light to close out the close games here. You saw it against Colorado State, and you saw it the other night against San Diego State. So he's the key there. But I think Nevada has the 2 better scoring duo with Blackshear and Lucas. But I think UNLV is a more well-rounded team. They have 5 scorers that average 10 or more points per game. So I think UNLV taking the 6.5 here is the play to keep it close.
Especially, my man.
Yeah.
Good one.
I like
it. We've got about a minute left, guys.
And then the other one, New Mexico and Utah State. Utah State's laying 3 here. They're pretty impressive season, 25-5, 13-4 in conference play here. And if they get a victory here, they'll secure the Mountain West regular season title outright. Utah State's led by an extremely efficient player in great Azabar, really good name. He shoots over 58% from the field. And thing about New Mexico lately, like I said, they're on the last 4 in. They've really struggled as of late. And it all starts with Jalen House not being effective, and Donovan Dent really took a little downslide. So if they want to get this win here, it all starts with those 2 getting it going.
Have a good weekend, Patrick. We appreciate it.
You too. Enjoy the game, Steve.
There he is, Patrick Berbert. We'll get back to Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Adam's hanging out there. It's Cofield and Simon. 5 o'clock hours on the way.